Hello, everybody. This is Cheryl. I'm so pleased to be here with you. Today is December 13th, 2018, and we are getting ready to move into this holiday season together. So big welcome. When I decided to do this webinar, I really had no idea what kind of response it would get, and it's been a huge response. So hundreds of you signed up, and many of you are on the call today, and it's really fun to see a lot of familiar names on my screen. A lot of you that have done my courses and been blog readers and followers and that I've been connected to in some way for many, many years. So welcome, and I'm so very, very happy to be connecting with you in this way. I love connecting through my blog, but as I said in the email or on the post about this webinar, it's really nice to connect in other ways, and it's one of the things I love most about my live courses is that we get to have these phone calls and these this other way to connect voice to voice. It just makes it a lot more real in our highly virtual world. So big welcome to everybody. I'm going to explain briefly how the call will be structured. For those of you who have taken my live courses, this will be familiar. And then we'll go right in. So I always start the calls with 1 minute of silence. You will hear a gong at the beginning of the minute and the gong bell at the end of the minute. And that is your time to turn inward, to be in silence together. I'll say right now that one of the best antidotes to the noise and the music and the crowds and the busyness of this season is silence. And we'll be talking about that a little bit further into the call, but everything externally in the culture is pressuring us and pushing us against that natural impulse during this season, which is to be in solitude and silence. So we're at these polar extremes in what we are being presented, where the pressure is, expectation in the culture, and what is actually needed. So we will start with that 1 minute to be in silence, to turn inward, to just do a quick scan, noticing what you're feeling, noticing your breath, and noticing where your body is. Then I will give the teaching, and then we will open it to questions. If you think you have a question and you want to connect, you can press star 2 on your call or on your screen, I guess, on your phone, and that will alert me on my screen that you have a question. It will add you to the queue, and I will be able to unclick you when it's time for the questions. So you can do that at any time, and I would encourage you to do that because there are so many of you. If you know you want to ask your burning question and just connect voice to voice, please do so at any time. That's star 2. And then we will close with the same 1 minute. That's our cleansing minute, our transition minute before we move into the rest of the day. And the call will be about 1 hour. So let's move into our minute of turning inward, giving ourselves the gift of silence, the sacred pause, as Tara Brach refers to it. We tend to forget how powerful it can be to just stop, because we don't stop in the culture, and particularly during the holidays. It's just go, go, go. So just to let yourself stop and be still for 1 minute will be worth the entire hour. Again, you will hear the bell at the beginning and at the end. take another couple of moments to notice what that was like for you. Did you notice your mind darting all over the place? Did it feel like a treat, like a small gift, a bath, to give yourself that pause? There's no right or wrong answer. It's simply noticing. And in the noticing, there is tremendous healing. So, how to stay sane through the holidays. I could have also called this how to stay grounded during the holidays, and that's really what we're going to focus on today. How to hold on to your center, that place inside that knows that you're okay, that deeply rooted tree that doesn't get swayed and pulled around by the winds of the culture. The place underneath the stories about consumption and perfection and the stresses that are amplified and the anxieties that are illuminated and the grief that is exposed during this time. How do we stay grounded amidst this whirlwind kind of crazy season, where there is actually so much opportunity, as always, to deepen wherever we are on our healing path? And I'll start by saying, as I've already alluded to, cutting to the chase here, I'm really emphasizing this point because it is one of the keys during the holidays and every other time, is finding that willingness and the commitment to carve out the time to turn inward. And it is a choice. Anyone who says, I don't have time to turn inward, I will ask, do you have time to scroll through the internet? If you have time to do that, you have time to turn inward. And this is so especially important during this season. That is the key to your ground, your center point. That old growth redwood, that central column that I talk about, that well of self, is to allow yourself to carve out the time, because when you do that, you will feel whatever it is you are truly feeling underneath the distractions, right? You're all here because you follow my work, and so you are familiar with anxiety in some form. Anxiety, intrusive thoughts, those are the distractions in the regular life. Right now we have different distractions, which are the socializing and the parties and the lights and the decorating and the dinners and the food and the buying and the presents and the buying and the buying and the buying and the buying. So that's the pull, right? But the work is the same. It's naming that as the distraction, just like intrusive thoughts are the distraction. Carving out that time to turn inward, finding the willingness to stop, because you know when you stop and you drop down out of that space of distraction or resistance, spinning in that anxiety, the spin cycle, the feelings will arise. And that's what we want. We actually want the feelings to arise, because when we can tend to those feelings, we can stay in the flow. We can stay in our center. So many ways to distract from feelings. So what are the common stressors? What are the common feelings that come up during this time? Many of you commented on my site about them. So I'm just going to read a short list and notice which ones feel relevant for you. If I haven't named the stressor or the feeling, it doesn't mean you're the only one, I promise you. There are at least a billion other people that are feeling whatever you're feeling right now about the holidays. Stress about co-parenting. Sadness about a recent loss. Being single. Stress about splitting the holidays between families. Stress about hosting, cleaning the house, preparing the perfect food, trying to please everybody. disconnect from family and friends. And perhaps most prominently, pervasively, is the fundamental loneliness that arises during the holidays. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about that. We live in a culture that is incredibly disconnected. It breeds isolation. And in this sense, we're doing it all wrong. We are not meant to be this isolated from one another. We have this illusion of connection now because of the internet, but it's not true connection. It can help. It can also hurt. But it's not the deep connectedness of knowing that you're living in a web of true community. And very few people have that these days, and the holidays illuminate that. Right? We are not meant to live so isolated, and so we have this archetypal sense of longing for that connectivity during the holidays, and then feeling like I must be the only one feeling this way because, look, everyone else seems so happy. That is not the case. But I want to take a moment here to acknowledge that we have all gathered today in this moment from all around the globe. And even though it is the internet, I want to encourage you to take comfort in the fact that you are not alone with your stress and your anxiety and your shame and your loneliness. You are not alone. We are here in this very moment. I'm going to read the list of countries from which people hail and are on this call right now. And it, as the signups came in, I started to notice, as I've noticed many times, where people were coming from. And it's always been just an immense source of joy and gratitude in my work to know that I'm reaching, you know, I'm touching you from all around the world. And that we get to gather in this way today from all around the world. It's extraordinary. When you think about it from a technological perspective, what technology has allowed us to do. So it's not the same as going next door and hanging out with your cousins and aunts and uncles. Right? We don't live that life at this point in history. And we suffer because of it, and maybe we're also better off in some ways because of it. I don't know. I don't want to glorify the past too much. But what I know is that we are isolated, and what I know is that we have these ways, if we can consciously honor them, to connect. So we have people here from Israel, all over the United States, all over Australia, the UK, Croatia, Spain, Germany, Ireland, Canada, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Finland, Switzerland, Belgium, the Netherlands, Nigeria, New Zealand, Malaysia, France, India, Saudi Arabia, Ecuador, Slovenia, Colombia, Indonesia, Chile, South Africa, and Poland. And I hope I didn't forget anybody. So I want to invite you to take this moment now and imagine that we are holding hands, arms around each other. This is how we use our imagination. We are holding hands around the globe, gathering in this huge earth-wide circle. And I want to invite you to practice a moment of Tonglen. This is the practice that I teach in all my courses and in my blog, of breathing into what we typically push away, any uncomfortable feeling that you have around the holidays. So into the separateness or the isolation or pain or loneliness or stress, whatever you feel when you imagine the holidays approaching, breathe into that and then breathe out what's needed. So the opposite, the medicine, a sense of calm, a sense of it's all okay, whatever it is. A sense of knowing that you're not alone. that we are all in this together, and that there is no picture-perfect holidays with Norman Rockwell families. That doesn't exist. That we all struggle in some way. That we all experience joy. That we all know what loneliness feels like. That there is no immunity to the spectrum of human emotions. So let's take another minute to breathe into that together. Into this global experience of being human. That the holidays can actually invite us to move toward instead of away from. Breathe into the feeling and breathe out what's needed. Breathe into the anxiety and breathe out calm. Breathe into the loneliness or separateness and breathe out connection. Breathe into the stress around splitting holidays and perfection. And breathe out, it's all okay. And know that you are being held in this great worldwide web. And that we're using this web in the best possible way right now as a way to connect. Even if it's in our imaginations, that helps a lot. Just knowing that we're all here because we all want to know how to stay more grounded during the holidays. So let me move on to the next section of what I want to share. And let me remind you, if you want to connect, it's star 2 on your phone. And I will see a little hand go up on my screen. Except for my screen froze. Hopefully you're all still with me. There we go. How do we do this? So we carve out that moment in the day, hopefully more than one moment. Allowing yourself to turn inward and feel whatever you need to feel. There's no right way or perfect way to go through the holidays. That's number one. Number two, know that whatever issues are arising are only amplifications of issues that are present year-round. So, obviously, my site is called Conscious Transitions. I write a lot about transitions. They're often a foundational point, grounding point for me. And as is always the case with transitions, and the holidays are marking a transition, right? It's no coincidence that these winter holidays, right, arrive near the solstice when the earth is shifting. That's not a coincidence. Our culture wants us to plow through this vulnerable time. Transitions are always vulnerable. They're always breaking and renewal points. We're more vulnerable during those times. The earth is more vulnerable. It's shifting, right? In this hemisphere, and I know not all of you are in this hemisphere, but it's happening in the southern hemisphere as well in reverse. But in this hemisphere, we are losing light each day. December 21st comes. And then we slowly start to gain light again. So right now we're in that descent into more and more darkness. But whichever hemisphere you're at, on December 21st, there's a shifting point, right? So interesting that our culture tells us to plow through it. It's like running across a fissure in the earth as fast as you can, hoping you make it across. Stay happy. Spend money, socialize, put up lights, ignore that we are on unsteady ground, right? Because humans don't like being groundless. We really hate it. So we try to do all these things to distract from the fact that we are shifting into more and more groundlessness as we make this descent to December 21st. But we can't really avoid, and so we end up falling in the crack anyway. Right? All of those ways of distracting don't actually work. So it's always the case with transitions. Right? The holiday is right around marking this big transition where core issues arise, right? And the transition gives us an opportunity to heal them at a deeper layer. You all know this because I talk about it all the time, but it always helps to hear it again. So we may resent or dread or hate the holidays, but we can also turn that around and temper some of that resentment by understanding that at least on one level, the holidays aren't doing something to us, but they are in fact offering an opportunity to heal. The only way to do that is to go underneath the story of the culture, right, which doesn't help us to that end. So if we can make that mental shift and say, oh, right, it's a transition, that we're all in together, which is so cool, right? It's not just me going through my budding transition or my motherhood transition or my moving transition. We are all in this global transition together. All of our issues are simmering up to the surface. Yay! I know it doesn't feel like a yay because our habitual response is to push away anything that's uncomfortable. But from the deeper underbelly perspective of the unconscious, it's a big yay. Anytime we're given the opportunity to see our stuff, our core issues, our stories more clearly. So then it becomes not just about getting through the holidays and surviving, as it is about embracing the pain and loneliness and the stress, whatever arises, as we see it as an opportunity to learn and grow. And I'll give you an example. A core issue might be the need to please and the fear of disappointing others. So this could arise around splitting time between two families or around the perfection that arises around hosting. It can show up in all kinds of ways. And I would guess that this is not the only time that you feel this issue. Fear of disappointing others is huge for a lot of people, as is perfection. So here we have an amplification of an already present lifelong challenge. Okay? We all have maybe 5 or 6 core stories, challenges, and they're amplified around transitions, which again means it's an opportunity to see them more clearly. And we can only heal what we see. And that's why it's a cause for a little celebration, that we have this opportunity to see more clearly. Right? We don't always see. We can live a lot of our lives in blindness and darkness, and especially around our blind spots, which is why they're called blind spots. But it's like in this fissure, in this breaking and renewal, the vulnerability of a transition, the earth opens up, the earth of our being opens up, and we're given this gift of more clear seeing. And so you see it. What do you do with it? Great, now I see my issue. This is so uncomfortable. You take that time to carve out that time to be with it, to see it, to name it. And then with this particular issue, like the fear of disappointing others, the antidote would be to try as an experiment to focus on connecting rather than perfection. To focus on giving yourself the mantra of, I'm not responsible for other people's feelings, instead of staying stuck in that habitual story of, I can't handle anyone being disappointed. Right? So another example would be feeling a disconnect from friends and family. Right, a very painful place to be, and certainly amplified around the holidays because we have this cultural pressure that says everyone should have an intact, perfect family, which we know rationally is ridiculous. Right? Every family has pain. Every single family on the planet has pain and disconnect and unresolved conflict. That's just the reality of our lives as humans. So the antidote would be to allow yourself to feel that disconnect even prior to getting together welcoming it in, moving toward it, so that you can meet reality as it is, so that you're not entering these events with some expectation that we're all supposed to be one big, joyous, happy family. And so just notice whatever is coming up for you right now. Maybe neither of those are your issues. Maybe you don't have any family around. Maybe you're not in partnership. Maybe you're single. Maybe you have no idea what you're going to be doing over the holidays, and that's the source of stress and loneliness and possibly shame. So again, let's take another brief pause point to just notice and see if you can bring some kindness to whatever is being stirred up right now. Knowing that we all have pain and struggle, and we all have joy and light. The light and the darkness coexist inside of everybody. And what is needed most is to meet your inner world with some tenderness, some curiosity, and breathing into even just one moment of tenderness and that feeling of, I am okay. This is all okay. There's nothing wrong with me. So the third antidote or key or guidepost or touchstone for moving through the holidays with groundedness is to, and we've touched on this a little bit already, is to shift your intention from the surface layer that the culture sings about into the archetypal layer embedded in this time. So we've talked about sort of the emotional layer embedded in this time around transitions, but there's also an archetypal layer around holidays, particularly this time. So a lot of the traditions focus on bringing in light in this darkest time of year. So you can just take even that one phrase of, what does it mean to shed light in the darkness? What does it mean as a metaphor? Right? What do we really hearkening to and pointing to in these rituals of lighting candles and stringing up lights? What is that? Well, yes, we could take it at the most surface level and say, well, it's really dark, and so we want some more light. But I think it's deeper than that. I think it's a metaphor for knowing that we can always shine light, even in these darkest times. And even gift giving, right? It can be such a superficial thing, but it can also be a deeply meaningful exchange of saying, I'm giving you something from my soul to your soul. I'm seeing you, right? And we can bring meaning. We can add meaning. We can choose meaning. And when we choose meaning, we are honoring and filling and nourishing the soul. The soul craves meaning. And yet so often what we see around during this time seems so meaningless and trivial and superficial. And it is. But we can take even some of those traditional rituals and imbue them with our own meaning. And it changes the experience completely. So before I stop talking and hopefully connect with some of you, and I will say this, I know it takes courage to speak up, especially when you know that there are a lot of people listening. But it's the yummiest part of the call for me and often for people listening is when we get to have an exchange. So start to, we have a couple hands raised if you want to make sure you have time. The time tends to fly very quickly. Make sure that you start to yourself. So I will leave you with this for this part of the call. We need meaningful rituals in our culture. We are starving for them. So as a way to embody these three antidotes that I've just given you, right, time to turn inward, to feel your feelings, slow down, reflect, clarify what core issues or stories or beliefs are arising, seeing clearly those places where you get stuck. We can do that in ritual. And rituals are so powerful because they take us out of headspace, and they bring us into the body where our true healing occurs. So again, the rituals of our culture tend to be a bit empty, but we have this opportunity to create new, meaningful rituals that are relevant and that can actually help us heal, that can help us cross over this divide, this fissure in the earth and in our being. And a ritual can be very simple. And in fact, the simpler the better, because then you're more likely to do it. Resistance has less of a chance. You want to bypass the resistance that says, I don't have time, and it's too complicated, I don't get it, I don't know how. So when it's simple, you are more likely to do it. So this is a very simple ritual that I want to invite you to try. And you might already be doing something like this, which is to light one candle each night, starting tonight, and for the month of December, or as long as you feel inspired to do it, and as you are sitting with the candle, bringing that light into the darkness, just candlelight alone, by the way, is so nourishing. Just that act of sitting in darkness with one candle lit is the ritual in and of itself, and will feed you a bazillion times more than getting on your phone will feed you. And as you're sitting with the candle, tune into what you're really feeling, not what you think you should be feeling, not the happy, happy, joy, joy, jingle, jingle, unless that's really what you're feeling, but to go underneath all of the chatter, all of those shoulds, and tune into what you are actually feeling. And I encourage you to have a journal ready. And as you tune in, to take some time to write and reflect. Or have colored pencils and markers ready. And draw what is wanting to be expressed. Without overthinking. Dropping down below the place of thought. Into your body. Into your emotional realm. Into that realm of soul and creative expression and imagery and color. Allow it to come out. Or put on music and dance by candlelight. Those are just three suggestions: to write, to draw or color, to dance. So what we're doing here is we're honoring the light in the darkness, and we're honoring your light, you, the beauty and the spark and the tenacity and the beauty. I said beauty twice. Of you. Which doesn't necessarily mean your happiness or your joy or any of those forced states we think we should be feeling. But whatever lives inside of you, that is your spark. Whatever brought you to this call, that is your spark. The part of you that longs for more wholeness, that deepest longing that we all have, that is your beauty, that is your light. And to allow it to shine, to allow you to be you, to feed your soul, to give yourself that tremendous gift of silence and solitude. And maybe you do this with a partner or with a child or with a friend, and maybe you do it by yourself. All variations are welcome. This is just a suggestion, and maybe there's another ritual that comes to you. Maybe it comes in a dream. Maybe it comes when you're walking. and you have this sense of, yes, that's what I need to anchor me, to ground me during this time. And perhaps at all times. But again, we have this opportunity during the vulnerability of transitions to create new rituals that perhaps serve us even beyond the time of the transition. And there is so much power during these times. And we miss it. We just miss it because our focus is all external. So everything I've said so far is to invite you, as I do every week on my blog in some form or another, to turn inward. To resist that massive cultural energetic wave to externalize. It's not where the healing lives. The healing lives inside of you. And that can only be accessed when you give yourself the time and the space to know you and to be you and to feel you and to dance you and to express you. That is the gift of this season. What an immense gift it would be to give that to yourself. And truly, it would be a gift to the planet as well. Doing this kind of work is not selfish. It is deeply nourishing for the wellspring of our humanity and of our planet. And that's what this time is about. Okay, I'm going to turn to you all. I'm excited to connect. I'm going to the first caller. I'm going to unmute you. Wow, my screen is just acting up today. Here we go. Hello. Caller number one, you just have to speak up because there's no other way to know if it's you. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yes. Hi.
Oh, is it me?
Are you there? It's you.
Ah!
Hi.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi.
Long time no talk.
It is. It's really good to connect with you, and you're just down the road.
I am. It's nice to know you're just an hour away.
Yes.
I have so many questions. First off, thank you so much for hosting this webinar, and it's always a joy to connect with you and to learn from you. And as always, thank you again for everything you've done for me. I have so many questions, but I'm trying to pick the most timely and hopefully one that will maybe serve the most people as well. So I guess my main question I would ask you is that for my particular family, we suffered the really tragic loss of my brother 5 days before Christmas. And this is going on a couple decades ago now, but every Christmas, of course, this is a time of unearthing grief and sadness, and so it's just a really heavy time for my family regardless.
Yes.
But when we get together as a family, I would say more so than anyone in our family, my mother really did not address the loss of her son.
Yes.
And so when we come together to celebrate holidays, or, you know, often just on normal get-togethers as well, they often go severely south, just because, you know, as one example, on Thanksgiving, my sister had this wonderful idea to go around the table and say what we were thankful for each person in the family. And my mother just started bawling and had to walk away from the table. So it's hard to come together as a family and to enjoy the holidays, just because there's so much unaddressed sadness,
yes,
on my mother's part. You know, I obviously there's a lot of sadness for me as well, but I have a lot of peace with the loss of my brother, and I know he's with us, and I, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm still dealing with the grief in a very, I have peace with where the situation is and where I know he is. So I just wonder, you know, how do I, as a family during these holidays, when things go south, you know, I went to my mother, I held her after that, I gave her a hug, and I said, you know, we know David's here, but I just, you know, how do we best handle these situations as a family when things go south during get-togethers, just because of, you know, unaddressed sadness or unaddressed issues?
Yes, such a great question. Thank you. And it's really a question that arises for so many transitions. I'm thinking particularly around a wedding when everything is heightened and who is missing is particularly heightened, and you can't control other people's processes around grief and loss or around anything. So it sounds like you handled that to the best of your ability. And what I'm really hearing you ask is, how can I make peace with the fact that my mother hasn't attended to her grief? And it comes out sometimes. Right. That's the deeper question. It's again, as I talked about earlier, it's amplified around these life events and holidays. But the fact is, it lives in your family system all the time, right? And you will feel that on some layer. As much as you've addressed your own grief and come to peace, and I really feel that you have, I hear that in your voice, you have no control over her process. And what a, so for your work is letting yourself feel that powerlessness around, like, how much would you love for your mother to get into therapy and really work on this or join a grief group?
You have no idea.
Right, right. Such a deep longing, watching her suffer, watching her bring the grief unattended, so it morphs and it comes out in this backdoor way, and it really affects the ability of the family to gather in a joyful way. So that would be my first, that's what I'm, my first layer is attending to your own powerlessness and your own longing, that there's really nothing you can do. I'm sure you've had the conversation and suggested and tried, and she's either going to address that or she's not in her lifetime. But the other piece I would say, yeah, right, I mean, some people just never will, and it's very sad, and it you know, it trickles down and other members feel it. But in the end, it's surrendering. Like, this is her path, and there's nothing you can do about it. But the second layer is also making some peace around the fact that that is what your gathering might look like. And so it's not the joyful, happy gathering that you wish it could be had she attended to the grief. But this is what it is. And so it's making room for that and saying, you know what? Maybe this is when her grief does have a chance to be expressed. So it comes out on Christmas Day. Wow, you know, on one level, that's kind of a bummer. But if you expand the expectation to think, well, we should all be joyful together and say, you know what? That's when it comes, that's when she breaks down. And of course she does. Even if she had attended to her grief, right, she might still fall apart on Christmas Day. And can that be okay?
Yep. That's beautiful. Thank you very much, Cheryl. I really appreciate your insight on all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's not the fantasy, right? It's not what you think it's going to look like. But I also think for you to expect it, and if you do a nightly ritual, if you light a candle, if you're with your journal, whatever your rituals are for turning inward, is to just expect that to be a part of it. And to really examine, like, well, what is coming up for me around this, you know? And can I just make more room for whatever this looks like, is whatever it is, knowing that in every family, as I said, there is unexpressed pain, there is unresolved, you know, grief and fear and loss and loneliness and longing in every family. And so even just imagining that day, like, wow, this is what it looks like in my family. It's going on in other families too. It just looks different.
Yep. You nailed it on the head, though. It boils down to frustration, just unmet expectations of hoping the family get together will look a certain way, and being upset that it turned south because she hasn't attended to her grief and tried to work through it the way that my sister and I really have and have done the work to finally get to a place of peace with all of it. So,
yes, right. And that frustration probably lives in you year round, but it's amplified during these times.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to try to mute that first caller so we don't get the background noise. Wow, my screen is really slow today. There was another hand raised, but I don't see one raised right now. So we have some time left on the call. If anybody has a question, feel free to pipe up. I would love to connect with you. And as you can see from first brave caller, whatever you bring up will serve other people. We tend to think my story is so specific and the details are so specific, but it's never the case. We're all living some version of the same story, just different details. So if anybody else has a question, now is your time to speak up. Otherwise, I'll just keep talking. And let me check the webcast as well. Okay. So let's take another moment, and I'll just keep watching the screen. If anyone, star two is the way to raise your hand. So I'll keep watching to see if any brave soul wants to connect. But for now, I invite you again to close your eyes if you can and turn inward and just notice again what's happening on the inner layer. As you've listened for the past 50 minutes or so, noticing what has been stirred up for you. What grief, what loss, what loneliness, what joy, what opening, what insight. And giving yourself that gift of noticing. As we all do this together and all joining in this global journey of healing together. So we'll just take another minute or so. So I will end by telling you a story. I have had one of my deepest longings is to feel more connected to my neighbor. Oh my gosh, all of a sudden there's so many hands raised. I think there was a glitch in the technology. All right, I will save that story for another time. It was a good one. But I will go to caller number two. Hello? Hello.
Hello.
Yes, it's you. Are you there?
Me? Really?
Yeah, it's you. Welcome. Can I ask you, did you have your hand raised the whole time or did you just raise it?
I just put it in, so if you want to take another one, you should.
Oh, no, you're number two. I just wanted to know if there is a glitch in this technology of my bridge line. But I think three of you all raised your hand at the same time. But you are the lucky winner. So please ask your question. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks again for everything and for hosting this webinar. It's been great to hear from you
and
from the other caller. I think my stress around the holidays is I get nervous that I'm never going to enjoy a Christmas as much as I did when I was a kid. Now that I'm married and now that I see, like, all my family drama for what it is and how much harder it is as an adult, and I just get very nostalgic and that expectation stuff you were talking about before, like, I really identify with that because I know instinctively that it's not like that anymore, and also I'm not a little girl anymore, but I remember feeling like this around my wedding too, and just kind of being very sad that I'm a grown up and that it's not the same anymore. And I don't know, the call kind of cut out for me at one point, so I don't know if you've addressed this already, and I'm sorry if you have already, but I would love to know if you have any ideas for handling that every year.
I did not address it, and it's such a great question. Thank you. You know, you're really speaking as a highly sensitive person to being tuned into that passage of time and the fact that childhood ends and we never get to go back to that innocence where all of the same dysfunction probably existed at that time, but you were unaware and you were innocent to it. And so you got to experience Christmas in that most idyllic way. And that was the feeling of it for you, right? Whether that was actually the case of what was going on around you, who knows? But the feeling of it was, I am a kid and the world is magical and this is magical and I'm happy. And so what I'm hearing is that around these transitions, like getting married, which is a huge leap into adulthood, and then celebrating the holidays as an adult, which is such a different experience than celebrating as a child, that grief comes up. That grief and that longing for, you know, the Garden of Eden, for, you know, that even if it wasn't actually perfect, but the feeling of perfection, of being a child, being taken care of, having everyone else handle stuff, and just being able to wake up on Christmas morning and the presents and the lights. And, you know, what I want to say to you is what I've been reinforcing throughout the call, which is one of my deepest messages in all of my work, is to really welcome in that feeling. There's something very beautiful about what you're saying. And if you could welcome it in instead of pushing it away, it will just be a feeling that accompanies you. It won't be something that feels bad or wrong. It will be part of your holiday experience. And you might, you know, write something from that place, or write a story, or write a poem, or draw, or allow yourself to really move toward that feeling of longing and of grief and of sadness. You know, it's when we leave childhood and we're attuned to it. My younger son is 9, and there's something called the 9-year change, where some kids, highly sensitive ones particularly, become aware of the fact that that little boyhood or girlhood, young childhood, is over. He has an awareness of the world now and of himself that he didn't have in those first 7 or 8 years of innocence. And almost every night when we're going to sleep, he says, I miss the way things used to be. I miss being 3. Why can't I be 3 forever?
Yep, I identify with that.
right. I mean, it brings tears as I'm sharing. It's so heartbreaking and beautiful, right? This passage of time and this awareness that we have as sensitive beings, that there is this limited time of childhood that not everybody experiences, certainly, right? And that's the other angle of sitting in the gratitude, that that is actually your memory of childhood. That's not true for everybody,
right?
Someone comes from a lot of trauma, and it's not going to be the case. But for you, it is.
Right.
And so to really sit in that and allow yourself to bask in that,
what's the difference between? Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
What is the difference between feeling gratitude for that and then feeling like guilty for? I feel like if I try to welcome these feelings in, I'll just kind of like if I welcome the grief in, I might just like sit in it all day. I know you've written about this on your blog too, that feelings don't. Mm-hmm. kill you, and it's not feeling them that's the bigger problem. But I feel like I'm scared that my anxiety will try to twist it and make it something that it isn't as productive. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, and that is one of the top five fears about feeling our feelings, is what if I feel it, and then I just wallow in it, and I can never get out of it.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
is that difference between indulgent pain that I talk about in my site, and healing pain, really letting yourself feel that pain. So when you let yourself really feel it, two things.
Mm-hmm.
One, and you have an inner adult, you have a parent in there that's saying, I can handle this, and I trust
mm-hmm.
that it will move through me. And if it doesn't, I will get up and go for a walk, and I will just shift the energy. Right? I'm not going to
mm-hmm.
sit here for 9 hours feeling sad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm not going to let myself do that. That's probably not productive to do that. But if you really move toward it without the guilt, without the shame, without the judgment, and you let yourself sit in that pure experience of sadness, and you move with it in some way, crying, writing, drawing, dancing,
mm-hmm.
and you embody it, it will move
mm-hmm.
through you. It's the biggest fear about pain. I'm going to cry. I'm never going to be able to stop. It's going to overwhelm me, and I'm going to fall into a deep depression. But there are ways around that. Right? And it's those two ways. It's attending with that. It's that inner parent, the inner father, really. It's the voice that says, okay, thank you, and that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I've been in this for an hour, and I feel like this is complete. And now I'm going to get up and go rake some leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Shift out of this space. And then to really meet it means to move. Let it move. You're letting it move through you. It's not a stagnant experience. It's moving. But if you meet it without the shame and the judgment, it will move.
Yeah. The shame and the judgment always try to trip me up and keep me in it. Year after year. That's right.
Or the guilt, I shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It's all practice. And so, again, we take this opportunity in this global transition to practice, to see those places where we get caught, where we get stuck, and to practice. So the practice for you would be, can I practice meeting my feelings in a loving, healthy way? I'm going to practice.
Okay.
It will be my experiment. When I light the candle and I turn, I'm going to see if I can do this. If I can, not explode it completely, that's not realistic, but to move, but to shift it, even slightly.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Yes, you are welcome. Thank you. Great, great, great question. They're all great questions, by the way. Okay, I'm going to mute the caller. My screen is moving very slowly. It's on archetypal holiday time. Slowly. So I can't actually see anybody at the moment, but I know there was a couple more of you. We are at the end of the hour. I would like to connect with one more person because I don't do these webinars. Well, I've never done one, so this is a great opportunity to connect. obviously anybody who needs to go, just do what you need to do. And thank you all for coming. I'm going to take one more caller and then we will close up. So I'm going to caller number 3. And it's going to take a second to unmute you. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, is it me?
It's you. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I wasn't expecting to be picked. I was, I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, I'm glad to have some time with you, Cheryl. Thank you.
Yes. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. Yeah, the last two callers, thanks also for sharing. And my heart is going out to you both. And today is the birthday of a friend of mine who passed away in a car accident 10 years ago. So it's always, and my birthday is tomorrow. So it's, we used to celebrate as kids. And so both of those stories resonated with me. I was feeling like when the second caller said about just missing Christmas as a kid, I just started crying because I've always felt kind of guilty for feeling that because it's, I'm, like you said, I'm so lucky to have had a childhood where I was loved and had the opportunity to be, you know, have these magical moments and just really enjoy the wonder of the world. And then with, you know, the first caller losing her brother and having the holidays tainted, it's a little different for me because my immediate family wasn't affected. But for me personally, just this time of year always makes me, you know, feel a lot of things. And after doing a lot of your courses and the blog, I tried to look this year at her birthday as a gift because I get to, and your webinar today is perfect timing. You know, it gives me time to cry and let things out, and I get to wake up tomorrow and feel, you know, fresher on my own birthday.
Wow. Yes. So,
thanks for letting me share that reflection.
Can I just say thank you for sharing that, and my heart goes out to you. And what a beautiful way to reframe that juxtaposition of the two birthdays, that on this day you grieve and you cry and you express that in that realm of sadness, and then on your day, on your birthday, you have a fresh palate. And of course, that's exactly how I talk about transitions. Is the more we do on this end, on the front end, the more we can actually be present for the actual transition day. So that's very beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I could ask another question, but I know we're kind of at the end.
Go ahead. What's your question?
The thing I raised my hand for when you were putting a call out to people, I was just kind of racking my brain. I should have thought about what I just said. But what came up for me was something a little more, I don't know if it's less deep, but kind of seems a little more catty as I am about to say it. But when I go home, I have two older brothers, and we're within 4 years of each other. And, you know, we all live across the country, but we love each other. We stay in touch as much as we can. But when we go home, of course, sometimes you know, old roles come out, or, you know, I kind of am as the sensitive one in my family, know how a lot of people feel about each other, but I don't know if they all know how that I know, and that if they've ever talked to each other about things. So I often feel like the peacekeeper. But my question is, but then I sometimes get frustrated with them. Like, let's say we're cleaning up after dinner and my brothers don't help. I feel very frustrated that why don't they help? But then I go help my mom because I'm not going to let her do it alone. Then I'm like, what is this? The women are in the kitchen. What the heck is this about? And I get all wrapped up in it. But my mom is like, she's a busybody. She likes to do it. She's like, Jen, go hang out with them. You don't have to, you know, help if you don't want to. But so my question is, you know, I feel myself getting frustrated with them, and then I end up saying something to them, and it's always fine. But like at the root of everything, I just want to, we're all together like once a year, and I really just want them to know how much I love them. Like, you know, with my friend's birthday today and losing her and knowing that her brother is without her, it's like a very sore spot for me. And I never really talk to them about it because they don't really ask me about it. And I always feel like too sensitive. So then I feel frustrated with myself for like having our interaction be about, why don't you do the dishes with me? When really it's like, I'm just so happy we're together. I'm a little mad that they're not helping with the dishes, but, you know, that's not the overriding message that I would like to have the holiday be. So.
Yes. So, great question. There's no ever any silly questions. I've never had a silly question on one of these calls, ever, because you're speaking to something very deep, which is really looking at a habit of yours. And you could spend the next, 10 days, 12 days exploring this, of what is it in you that, is there something in you that wants to sabotage, that has a hard time enjoying that moment, that wants to poke a hole in it. And to explore that as you're leading up before you go, and then set an intention, and a very firm one, that you're going to experiment this year with not saying anything.
Mm.
With holding whatever that feeling that comes up in you, and knowing that it's yours, and you get to make the choice whether you want to help clean up or not. That you, right, your mom's not expecting. You get to do whatever you want.
Right.
And to, instead of bring it up or criticize, is to zip the lip. It's such a huge practice for people who are prone to criticism, which is really all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And just hold that. Right? And then see if you can say what it is that you actually want to say. And it's a lot easier to criticize than it is to be vulnerable and to say, what I really want to say to you guys is how much I love you, how grateful I am that we're all here.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot more vulnerable than saying, hey, why don't you guys ever help clean up? You dumb jerk. Like, that's the easy thing, and that's the habit. And so it's like what I was saying earlier in the call is experiment with changing that habit this year. And exploring is what's underneath that? Why do I do that? It's not even what I really want to say. It doesn't really matter. Whatever, They can deal with that in their own private lives if they don't clean up. That's their thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I hear two pieces. I hear the resentment that you feel like you have to be the one to clean up, which you don't have to. That's a choice you're making.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then some kind of sabotage or some kind of protective criticism that comes out,
mm-hmm.
instead of the vulnerable expression of love and gratitude.
Yeah. And that makes sense. Like with the second caller or maybe it was the first caller, but just the second caller, but not being able to handle it. But just like for me, I feel like if I say something like how much I care about them, I just cry. Anytime I have a conversation that's like about sad emotions, angry emotions, I don't usually get angry. I just start crying when I'm talking about whatever. And I guess I've always felt like not comfortable with my sensitivity around them. I guess I don't know why, but just from life, I don't know. But it feels like a vulnerable place to be. And, I did it with my brother. His birthday is a week ago, and I was on the phone with him, and I decided to, like, he's not my most, open. I mean, he's not as sensitive as me, but he's a great person. But I decided, whatever, I'm going to tell you how I feel, even if this is more of a gift for me than you. And it just, he couldn't see me, but I was still, barely making it through the words. I was just telling him that
he
affected my life, and that I'm, so lucky to have him, and I'm glad we're friends and everything. And he was very receptive and kind, but it's like I could barely make it through without crying, which I guess is not a problem. But
no,
it
is not a problem. And that is, we talk about the true gifts of the holidays. That is the gift right there. That gift of expression of soul to soul. I see you and I love you and I'm grateful for you. And it's like all these other things we do to cover that over, and all these wrapping paper and box and press. It's like, well, what are we really saying? We're saying, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard, right? It really is a risk to put ourselves out there. And growing up with two older brothers, and it's, brother culture and their way of moving through the world, and it might be different from yours, and all of that will come out. But I would encourage you to move toward that before the actual day. Give yourself that time. If you light the candle each night and explore that. What was that like growing up as the one girl and being sensitive? you know, and maybe that's part of what comes out in that mm-hmm. pokey critical comment, right?
Right.
For the holidays. I think there's a lot there. It's rich.
Mm. I will look into it. Thank you.
Okay.
It.
Thank you. Great question. Okay. Well, this has been really wonderful. I have enjoyed it immensely. I am intending to do a webinar once a month for the next few months. And then I have my new book coming out in the spring. So I'm very excited about that. It's called The Wisdom of Anxiety. And, you know, it's a deep expression of so much of what I've written about all these years. So thank you all for joining this call. It's been very rich. I feel you there, even though I can't see you. And I'm sending you blessings for this season. May you turn inward, and may you connect with your divine spark, and may you take a risk and share that light with others. And may you meet yourself wherever you are at with kindness and with tenderness and with love. And we will close out with 1 minute of silence. And if you would like to stay longer, please, please do so as you continue on with your day or night.